Welcome to our Holy Communion celebration on this Wednesday of the week of Pentecost 19. My name is Larry Huff, and I serve as the village pastor. Our preacher this evening is Professor Mary Shore, and she will be preaching on our gospel text. We do welcome her to our pulpit. For our worship this evening, you will need a worship folder and a copy of Renewing Worship, the songbook. We are short of the worship folders, so I hope that you are sharing them. We wish no one to be left out of our worship this evening. We wish to welcome all sisters and brothers, regardless of race, cultural background, nationality, economic status, gender, sexual orientation, education, or language. We meet together at God's table, and Jesus is our host. It is important, however, to be honest with each other and to admit that in spite of the best of intentions, there are divisions. And so we include in our service this evening an order for confession and absolution. Let us now make space for the silence of our hearts as we prepare for worship.
We gather around the redeeming and reconciling cross of Christ, upon which Christ embraced the universe, revealing the extent of God's abundant grace and love. We gather as God's people.
We gather as individuals, broken yet holy.
Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison.
We gather as representatives of the culture around us, which is broken yet holy.
Christe eleison, Christe eleison, Christe eleison.
We gather as the body of Christ, broken yet holy.
As a shepherd seeks lost sheep,
so God seeks and saves us.
As a woman rejoices over finding a lost coin,
so God rejoices over sinners who repent.
Let us confess our brokenness and our self-deception and our need for God's forgiveness and reconciliation. We observe a time of silence for confession of sin.
God intends all people to be welcome at God's table.
Yet we set up barriers.
Holy God, we confess our failure to live as your people. Across the barriers that divide race from race,
reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
Across the barriers that divide rich from poor,
reconcile us, O cross, by your cross.
Across the barriers that divide men and women, people of different sexual orientations and people of different ages,
reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
across the barriers that divide us within this Holden community.
Reconcile us, O Christ, by your cross.
All are welcome.
May all become welcome. Christ's holiness is revealed in abundant grace and love. In Christ's grace and love, our brokenness is filled and our divisions mended. We gather here and now as the forgiven and healed children of God and the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We shall sing as our gathering hymn number 178 in Renewing Worship Songbook. Let us go now to the banquet. We will, however, change two words. The opening line of verse 1 after the chorus, we will sing, I will come in the early evening. I will come in the early evening. We sing number 178. I will run in the early evening, the community waiting for me. With a spring in my step, I'm walking with my friends and my family. Let us go now to the banquet, to the feast of the set, and a place is waiting. Come, everyone, with your gifts to share. God invites all the poor and hungry to the banquet of justice and good, where the harvest will not be hoarded, so that no one will lack for food. Let us go now to the banquet, to the feast of the universe. The table's set and the place is waiting. Come everyone with your gifts to share. May we build such a place among us where all people are equal in love. God has called us to work together and to share everything we have. Let us go now to the banquet, to the feast of the universe. The table's set and a place is waiting. Come everyone with your gifts to share.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Gracious God, unveil our eyes. Let us see you face to face, the knowledge of your love as you live in us. God, renew our minds as your will unfolds in our lives, in living every day in the power of your love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please rise as you are able for the reading of the gospel as we sing our gospel acclamation printed in your worship sheet.
Listen, God is calling through the world, inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy.
Listen,
God is calling through the world, inviting, offering forgiveness, comfort, and joy.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he went back to Galilee. He left Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, a lakeside town near the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. In this way, the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way to the sea on the far side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who lived in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began proclaiming the message, "Change your hearts and minds, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he watched two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They fished by trade. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of humankind." They immediately abandoned their nets and began to follow Jesus. Jesus walked along further and caught sight of a second pair of brothers, James and John, begot of Zebedee. They too were in their boat, mending their nets with their father. Jesus called them, and immediately they abandoned both boat and father to follow him. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of heaven and healing all kinds of diseases and sicknesses among the people. His fame spread throughout Syria, and people suffering from illnesses and painful ailments of all kinds, those who were demon-possessed, those who were epileptic, those who were paralyzed, were brought to Jesus, and he healed them. Large crowds followed Jesus, coming from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the Transjordan. The Gospel of the Lord. This is an open letter to four fishermen. Dear Peter, Andrew, James, and John, you don't know me, but I've heard about your call to follow Jesus, and I have a few questions. You see, as the story has come to us, one minute you are working at a job that pays the bills, and the next minute two of you have left your fishing gear, and the other two have left your father and your fishing gear, and you are all following Jesus. Jesus says, "Follow me," and the two words are so compelling that you drop what you're doing and go. This way of being a disciple goes against almost everything I've been taught. For instance, I've learned from highly reliable sources that it is a good thing to honor your father and your mother. James and John, I don't mean any disrespect here, but leaving Zebedee in the boat that way, what were you thinking? Who was supposed to help him finish mending the nets and do the rest of the chores that are left after a long night of work? Did you plan to be gone for long? Did he approve of your leaving? Did you come back to fish with the family on some days and then go to listen to Jesus on other days? I wish I knew the answers to these things. And while we're on the topic of paying attention to your parents, how old were you when this call took place? I ask because I wonder if maybe Jesus was calling young people to follow him. Jesus himself is somewhere in his 20s or maybe early 30s by this time. Was that your age too? Or were some of you even younger than that? Peter, we know you were married, but we don't know anything about the others of you having your own families and houses yet. And if you were not yet married, then maybe you are younger when this call comes than we've been thinking. When I think about college students I know and what I was like as a college student, it's easier for me to imagine that you might just simply have followed Jesus when he said, "Follow me." Acting in such an impulsive way is a luxury most of us cannot afford anymore. And frankly, I'm pretty sure this is a good thing. It is a virtue, don't you think, to be a little more deliberate in one's decision making? If it were up to me, I probably would have chosen more cautious people than Jesus did. But Jesus chose you. "Follow me," he said, "and I will make you fish for people." Did you have any idea what he was talking about? Some of us scratch our heads still over this image. When our preachers extend the metaphor and talk about casting nets and baiting hooks and reeling people in, we wonder if that's really what you had in mind when you heard Jesus say it. It sounds like something from a marketing strategy to me. A numbers game, either dishonest or self-serving or both. And I wonder if we should be associated with it. Are we tricking people into following Jesus with bait? or with a net that they swim into without being aware of it? I trust Jesus was not saying this, but the fact of what you guys did for a living has left us with a metaphor that sounds, well, you know. Yeah, fishy. Frankly, and more importantly, it also sounds like a lot of work. Fishing for people? I know some people. I am a person, and most of us are, whether we like to think so or not, high maintenance. Let's say I'm working in a church and a person walks into the office and asks for $25 worth of gas. If I let myself think, this is the tip of the iceberg of what this person needs. And if I and my friends try to help meet more than just one $25 need, our lives are going to get way more complicated. And I know it works in the opposite direction, too. My friends and I, who do not often have trouble coming up with money for a tank of gas, are nonetheless high maintenance in other ways. Bear one another's burdens, that other apostle Paul would say. And sometimes those burdens are as difficult to figure out how to bear for each other as it is to figure out what we can do to make a dent in the problem of long-term poverty. Oh, you first disciples of Jesus, did you know any of this when you started following him? Did you realize who would be caught in that net that God was throwing out through the ministry of Jesus? Right away, Matthew says, all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, all those people were caught up with what Jesus was doing and what he had asked you to help him do. We have stories about you disciples, and from them I imagine that you were not natural helping professionals when it came to fishing for people and paying attention to them after they were in the net. I won't belabor this point, but you guys are not remembered for your compassion. You tried to send children away when all they wanted was to meet Jesus and hug him. You got tired of hearing a woman cry out to Jesus to heal her sick daughter, and you asked Jesus to send her away. Okay, I am belaboring the point. right in front of a man who was born blind, but who was most certainly not deaf, you struck up a conversation with Jesus about whether a man's blindness was the result of his sin or that of his parents. What? There was no such thing as sensitivity training in the first century? Did you have no idea what it meant to have compassion for others? If it were up to me, I would have chosen people to whom kindness was second nature. I would have looked for people who had vast stores of energy for facing and ministering to people in pain. I would have chosen natural helpers. But Jesus chose you. I wonder, too, what the four of you made of reaching out to Gentiles. You were all Jews. You had the law and the prophets. You had the covenant with Abraham and all the promises given to your people through the centuries. You knew that the way to safeguard all of these was to keep yourselves apart from the Gentiles and from Gentile immorality all around you. Did you know when you started following him that Jesus would eventually have you talking to people so different from yourselves? Matthew quotes Isaiah, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." It is a way of saying even those in the dark pagan Gentiles are going to recognize that the God of Israel means to make all things new and to make God's own goodness known far beyond the bounds of the people of Israel. Sometimes today when our leaders speak of mission, they tell us that a congregation, as it plans outreach, should target certain age groups or income groups or neighborhoods. For the most part, it makes sense. We can't do everything at once, and having a plan for outreach is arguably better than having no plan for outreach. But here you guys are, two sets of brothers, all fishermen, all Jews from Galilee, basically four peas in a pod. And yet your mission, right from the start, is broader than anything we would expect from you. First, Jesus sends you to all the towns in Israel and tells you to proclaim the good news and cure the sick. And at the end of the gospel, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He sends you to people who will look, act, and talk nothing like you do. He sends you out in cross-cultural mission, the hardest kind of mission there is, filled as it is with so much potential for awkwardness, mistakes, and misunderstanding. If it were up to me, I might have made my first group of disciples more diverse, so that the Gentile mission, the urban mission, the world mission would be easier when we got to that point. I would have chosen differently. But Jesus chose you. We have no reason to think you were a particularly careful, mature, sensitive, caring, or broad-minded group of people. In fact, we have a few reasons to think that you are none of those things. Yet Jesus chose you. I'm beginning to think my questions should have been addressed to Jesus and not to you. I keep wondering, what was he thinking? What was Jesus thinking calling you to follow him, commissioning you to bear his message to the world? The Apostle Paul, himself a quirky figure to bear the name Apostle, when he writes to another group of unlikely missionaries for the reign of God, those Corinthian Christians, up to speed on Gentile immorality, if you ask me, Paul says to them, God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. God is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. I look at you, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and I think, true. I look at my contemporaries and myself, and I think, still true.
The hymn of the day is number 189. The Lord now sends us forth. Those who are able are welcome to sing the hymn in Spanish. Better place to live,
and to serve and give, to make of all the earth a better place to live. The angels are not sent into a world of hate to do what we were meant to do in Jesus' name. That falls to you and me. Help us, O Lord, we pray, to do your will today. The angels are not sent into our world of pain to do what we were meant to do in Jesus' name. That falls to you and me, and all who are made free. Help us, O Lord, we pray, to do your
Living in the gift of our baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who long to experience God's perfect love. Open us to your will, God. Help us to embrace with hospitality and gratitude all whom you send to us. God of perfect love, hear our prayer. Bless with energy, playfulness, and wise hearts all those you call to the work of your church. God of perfect love,
Hear our prayer.
Give us discipline to seek rest and Sabbath, so that we might move out from that place of rest to new ventures. God of perfect love,
hear our prayer.
Give peace to our world and enliven our desire to live with grace, generosity, justice, and hope. Help us care for those whose lives have been shattered by illness, disaster, or violence. God of perfect love,
hear our prayer.
Give us patience to listen to one another through our imperfect words to our hearts and to respond to each other in love. God of perfect love,
hear our prayer.
Give us courage to name our fears and to ask with confidence for your presence in our conversations and in our actions. Help us not to be afraid to give witness to the hope that is in us. God of perfect love,
hear our prayer.
Fill with your healing power all who long for wholeness for themselves or those they love, especially those we now name aloud or silently. God of perfect love,
hear our prayer.
We remember and give thanks for the lives of those who have gone before us, and we ask that you let us wait patiently for a glorious reunion. God of perfect love,
hear our prayer.
Keep us safe as we go out from this place and bless those who wait for us. God of perfect love,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands we give all for whom we pray, eagerly expecting your mercy. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please greet your neighbor with a sign of that peace.
Thank you.
Just a word of explanation before we begin the communion proper. Both wine and grape juice are offered at this table. Wine will be served by both common cup and by individual cup. Grape juice will be served by individual cup only. So if you would prefer grape juice, please take an individual cup and proceed to the second pitcher. The first pitcher will contain wine. If you would prefer a blessing rather than the elements, please come forward with your hands folded, and the person serving the bread will give you a blessing. Children are welcome to commune at this table. However, if your child has not been prepared for communion and you would wish them not to commune, please ask them to keep their hands folded when they come forward, and they will receive a blessing. Let us now rise for the preface and Sanctus as led by our cantor.
Lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo. Our God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the living God. It's right to give all of our thanks and our praise. Lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo, lo lelo lelo li. It's our joy and job to give thanks all our days. It's our joy and job to give thanks all our days. So with the church and the saints in heaven. Praise you and join in their unending hymn. And join in their unending hymn. Lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo, lo lelo lelo li. Holy, holy, holy God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest. Lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo, lo lelo lelo li. Lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo, lelo lelo lilo, lo.
Together. Maker of light and dark,
day and night, creator of sun and moon, stars and all planets, you fashion days and seasons and years, each with their own uniqueness, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, you who live through all time and beyond time, through Jesus, Christ, promised one, you reconcile to yourself. People of all time and places, bringing all of your children into your loving grace.
On the night before he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for all of you.
Do this for the remembrance of me.
In the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins.
Do this for the remembrance of me.
We pray our Lord's Prayer using the form that is closest to your heart. Let us pray. Abba in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil.
This is the body of Christ, broken for the mending of all divisions.
This is Christ's table, and all are welcome. Here all divisions cease. Here in Christ's body we are made one. Come, everyone, for this is the resurrection banquet for all God's people.
Please be seated. Body of Christ given for you.
Jim, this is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you.
This is the body of Christ given for you. May God bless you and keep you every single day.
This is the body of Christ.
This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you.
join in singing number 170, I Come With Joy? Number 177, Bread of Life from Heaven. Thank you.
Please rise. May the body and blood of Christ strengthen you for your labors, enrich you in your service, and heal you in your recreation, now and evermore. Amen.
God, beyond all time, you are present with us each moment of every day. Open our eyes through the sharing of this meal to discern your presence in one another, in the beauty and bounty of your creation, and in the precious work you give us to do each day. Strengthen us through the food you have offered us in this time, that all that we do every minute might be pleasing to you. In the name of the one who came to walk with us in history, Jesus Christ. Amen.
God beyond all time, maker of day and night, bless our waking and our sleeping. God within our time, savior of all that is temporal and mortal, bless our working and our resting. God, uniting yesterday, today, and tomorrow, sanctifier of every moment, bless our doing, our being, and our becoming. Amen. Our final hymn is the Trees of the Field. It is number 188, number 188. We will sing it three times through.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills will break forth before you. Be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. While you go out with joy, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills will bring forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. While you go out with joy, you shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. And the mountains and the hills will break forth before you. Be shouts of joy.
God.
Thanks be to God.